members of this assembly for inviting us at this conference. I haven't been to one of these conferences for some time. But from what I can say, the previous ones were good, and apparently they're getting better. Also want to thank you for inviting me to share in the ministry of the word. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now, this is not the subject. I'm just going to pass something on. In a natural race, only one person gets the prize. Read this carefully, study it through, and you will find that in the spiritual race, everybody can get a prize. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or under self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. We, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I keep my body under, bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Our subject? Disqualified. Most of your Bibles say cast away. And this goes back to an old Greek word and practice. The Greeks were famous for making potware to hold water and liquids. If you had a piece of pottery that held water, fine. But from time to time, that piece of pottery would get a crack and the water would leak through and was referred to as a castaway. Disqualified, cannot be used anymore. Now, we all like to be approved, don't we? In school, at home, at play, even in the assembly, we like to be approved. But to be disqualified is a terrible, terrible thing. And we become disqualified when we fail to follow the rules. 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. I'm sorry, it's verse 5. Not this. Now, if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Several years ago, and I dare say that many of you will remember, the New Yorkers anyway, a little over 20 years ago, there was a marathon race for females only in New York City. Does anybody remember that? Yes. They started up in the Bronx and ran down to the foot of Manhattan Island. It's 26 miles. And a certain young lady won the prize. And they decided, let's see how she made out all the way. Let's trace her by camera from start. And so I see someone shaking their head. You remember this. She started with all the others, and suddenly they couldn't find her in the pictures. Remember that? That's right. She went in what we call the subway. I think here you might call it the metro. Rode down to about a mile from the finishing point and suddenly appeared. And they became very suspicious. How did she even, why is she missing all this time? And exactly what I told you is, you know what they did with that prize? she was disqualified and he took the prize back. And we as believers need to be very careful that in the Christian race we are not disqualified. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 4. Disqualified. Rejected. Of no further use. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 10. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Oh, Heavenly Father, I can't talk. I have an impediment in my speech. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 3. A man who had an impediment in his speech, he couldn't talk. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses could not talk, and he was very meek. Now let me just say this. Meekness does not mean weakness. When we are enjoined to be weak, to be meek, it does not mean that we should be weak. Moses couldn't talk, and he was very meek. Now let's bear that in mind. Chapter 20 of the Book of Numbers. Verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes. It shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Moses, meekest man on earth, can't talk very well. Not a public speaker. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. The man that can't speak. And he's very weak and very meek. Hear now, ye rebels. Does that sound like a man that's meek? Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch water out of the rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock. Very neat. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts also. Now, let me point out one thing, beloved. We know that Moses disobeyed the Lord, and we also know, as we should read, that he's not going to enter the promised land, because we know that. He was wrong. He spoke advisedly, and he acted advisedly, and yet the Lord sent the water. And so, beloved, we must be very careful. And I speak especially to those of you that are young. This man is preaching and all these people are coming. And this is happening. Be careful. If he is not in keeping with the word of God, no matter what you see resulting, disregard it. Do not follow everybody. Follow those that follow the word of God, regardless of what appears to be good results. But we read on. The Lord spake, verse 12, unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Disqualified. You're not going into the land. Can you read further, please? Chapter 11. Verse 12, we just read it. Chapter 27. Disqualified not to enter the land, speaking inadvisedly and acting hastily. Did I say 25 or 27? 27, that's correct. Verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount, Abraham, see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. When thou hast seen it, thou shalt also be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. This is the water of Meribah and Kadesh and so forth. And there are several other references in Numbers and in Deuteronomy in which the Lord mentions to Moses, you are not going into the land because you rebelled against me. You are disqualified. Now, what is it that disqualified this meek man that couldn't talk? Misuse of the tongue. Beloved, let us be careful how we talk to one another. We may be disqualified. Read with me, please. Psalm 52. Psalm 52. Verse 2. The tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor. We can wound people with our tongues. And I assure you, beloved, if we wound people with our tongues and do it often enough, we'll be disqualified. Chapter 55. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His breath, words were softer than oil. His words were softer than oil. Watch these people that speak smoothly, yet they were like drawn silk. Beloved, we will be disqualified if we do not properly use our tongues. Now there's something about words. Once a word goes out, you can't bring it back. Isn't that good reason to be careful how we speak? It's like a baseball player, you know, from time to time, and I'm not a sports fan, but I do know this. It impresses me because of what happened. A pitcher throws the ball, and he sees that it's going to hit the man at bat. He doesn't mean to hit the man at bat. Don't you think it would be nice if he could pull the ball back? But he can't. And that's the same way with words. We need to be careful of the words that we speak. They cannot be recalled. You know that already almost 15 minutes have passed, and I'm about 35. Judges chapter 16. Disqualified. No longer useful. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to read about a man there whom we all know very well. Judges chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth." Verse 5. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him that we may see where his great strength." There was the strongest man that ever lived. A man that met a lion and tore the lion apart. And the strongest man today can't do that. The strongest man that ever lived. But he too was disqualified. And before we read of that, why do you think he was disqualified? What was the cause of his being disqualified? Again in the book of Judges. Chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Pardon? 16. Sorry. Verse 1. Samson went down. You remember that man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho? Beloved, which way are you walking? What direction are you taking? I hope so. But let me tell you this. If you find life so easy that you're just sliding along, you're going down. And if you have no problems, you're going down. Because the Lord said, in this world you will have tribulation. So if you don't have them, something's wrong. But let's read it. Saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." Yeah. You know, sometimes I say Philistines, sometimes I say Philistine. And when I look it up, they tell me you can say either, so you'll understand. It depends on how I feel. Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncertain Philistines?" Samson said to his mother, "Get for her for me. She pleases me well." How about it? Are you living for yourself? Now, turn back with me to Joshua chapter 24. One season. No, it's 28. She pleases me well. You shouldn't marry her. That's all right. She pleases me. Oh my. Is that in the world today? This me-ism. What pleases me? Me first. Child of God, you watch. You go by the word of God first, or you'll be in trouble. She pleases me. Now the book of Joshua, please. Verse 8. Plead unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. The Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, it is he that fights for you, and he hath promised that he hath promised. Now, take good heed therefore unto yourself that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and plead unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them. Young folks, especially those of you that are not married, are you reading with me? Please read with me. You make marriages with the ungodly, and go in unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of those nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your side, thorns in your eyes, until you perish in his no unequal yoke. I think it was today I had occasion to say, there is no such thing as falling in love. See, I'm giving you a little marriage class, premarital. There is no such thing. Sure, if you fall, you're going to get hurt. What do you expect? You fell in love. But what did the Lord say concerning Israel? I have set my affection on you. And that's the person that you marry. You don't fall. You decide that's the one and you put your affection there. That's just the best. These are the words of God. Samson said unto his father and mother, get her for me. She pleases me well. I know what Joshua said. I know the word of God, but I'm doing it my way. And you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to be disqualified. I'll come back to these. Chapter 16. Well, we might read 14 verses. This self-pleasing, where is it going to end? Look at chapter 14. Verse 1. Pleasing himself now. He went down to a woman's temple. And that. We won't read it now. You know the end result of that, don't you? That was fatal. You'd think he'd have enough sense to stop. Chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza. He's always leaving the children of God, the children of Israel. We are reminded in Jeremiah, and I speak particularly to the young, stop gadding about. Stay where God has put you. You'll find a husband and a wife if he wants you to have one. And let me tell you, if you get one and God doesn't want you to have that one, I hate the thing. Verse 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sore, whose name was Delilah. Constantly going after the ungodly. What do you expect? What would you expect? He's going to be disqualified. Chapter 16 and verse 20. Then she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Disqualified. Why? Disobedience to the word of God. That's all that's necessary, if I put it that way, to be disqualified. Disobedience to the word of God. She pleases me well. The lust of the flesh. And we read in the New Testament, flee youthful lust. Now, you older folks, you know, youthful lusts are not only found in the youth. If you're honest, you must admit, but even as older people, we have youthful lust. And the Lord says, flee, run. Do as Joseph did. Run. Oh, but I'm a coward. Well, be a coward. But what's wrong with being a coward if your life is going to be saved? Age all over the place. And they say this and they say that. Do this. You know what to do? Run. That's the cure for age. That's the prevention of AIDS. Run. He did not know that the Lord was departed from him. Look at verse 21, please. Now, remember what we read in Joshua, that if you marry these outsiders, your eyes are going to be taken out.
the Philistines took him.
Your Bible says he put out his eyes. That's not the regular.
That's not the regular issue.
You know what they did? They gouged out his eyes. That's the word. Disqualified and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind the mill, that is, in the prison. And they made fun of it. But isn't God good? Look at the next verse. His hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved. Oh, the mercy of God. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, to our vision. It came to pass, verse 25, when their hearts were merry, that they called for, you see what they do to you? They only want you to make fun of you. And that brings something else to mind, beloved. And particularly again to you young people. Don't join anything. Nobody says amen. But you'd be in trouble if you start joining. I remember in school, Garns joined this fraternity. Garns joined that fraternity. And one day I asked, what's the advantage of you? They said, but wherever you go and you need help, you have a brother or a sister. You know what I said? I have that already. Don't you? I am here and I'm telling you, we are having a wonderful, wonderful time at the home of our brother and sister. No fraternity. And then the worst thing about it is, I remember some of my classmates that joined the fraternity. One fellow's nose was broken in the course of the initiation. He died about 10 years ago and his nose was still off. Right. And I know another one, he joined the fraternity. And he was beaten so bad that he had to stand up in the back of the class, he couldn't sit. And when the Lord saved me, he didn't charge me and he didn't beat me. Don't join anything. You are already a member of the best. You are a child of God, a member of the household of heaven. That's the highest society that there is in the universe. And one day they're going to see. Don't join. That's verse 25, when their hearts were merry, that they called for Samson, that he might make sport, entertainment. That's terrible. A child of God entertaining the ungodly? Well, that's all they want you for. They called for Samson out of the prison house. He made them sport, and they set pillars between him. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars spread upon the house. House was full of men and women. Look at verse 23. Isn't God good? Even when you roam and wander away, come back, God of God, if you're wandering, come back.
Samson cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray you, and save me, I pray you, only just this once. O God, that I may be avenged at once of the Philistines, and not you. Samson took all of the two little pillars from which the house stood, and on which it was drawn up, of the one with his right and the other with his left. Samson said, let me die. He bowed himself with all his might.
Where that might come from? He was restored. And if you have wondered, or are about to wonder, or in the process of wondering, don't go any further. Come back.
Amen. He both bowed himself with all the men. The house fell upon the Lord. The house fell upon the Lord and all the people that were in. dead, this is true. For more than days.
Now, you know, as I read the story of Samson, it seems to me that he died in dishonor. He didn't accomplish very much. That's how it seems to me. But you know, as I do, that when we turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Samson is listed as a hero of faith. I think I have 5 minutes. We'll take one more. 1 Kings chapter 3.
1 Kings chapter 3.
Verse 9. Solomon's prayer was, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this people so great today? You know, all the world rulers should pray this way. They're in utter confusion. They don't know what they're doing. They need to look it up. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemy, who did ask for wisdom and understanding, behold, I have given according to thy words a wise and understanding, so that there was none like thee before thee or after thee, and none shall arise like the wisest man that ever lived. All right? Chapter 4, verse 9. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding. God is the part. Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of men. Oh, by the way, young folks, you're in school and they're teaching, among other things, evolution. Don't you move. Psalm 119. The time is gone. I can't turn to it. But what did the psalmist say? I have more wisdom than all my teachers because I love thy word. Now you keep with the Bible and you'll know more than the evolutionists. Anybody believe that? True. I could give you some example of the answer. Now, Deuteronomy and just maybe two more scriptures and we'll stop. It's very discourteous to take our brother's time. But if I stop here, I don't think you'll get the message. How Solomon was disqualified. The smartest man that ever lived. The most wise man that ever lived. And he was disqualified. Why? Look with me, please, in Deuteronomy. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, shall dwell therein, shall say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are about. That's it. We're not supposed to be like the people around us. Our strength is in our difference. You mix with them, you become weak. Now, verse 16. The king shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to that end. Ye shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall you multiply wives. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now the king is not to multiply horses, wives, or gold. Right? 1 Kings. Chapter 10. chapter 10, verse 28. Don't multiply wives, don't multiply horses, and don't multiply money. All right? 10 and 28. Solomon had horses. The very thing the Lord said don't do. Raise the horses. Out of Egypt, of all places. Linen yarn, the king's merchants, you see the linen yarn at that. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, a horse for 150, and so for all the kings of Israel. Multiplied horses, right? Good. Chapter 11, verse 1. King Solomon loved many strange women. What did the Lord say about multiplying wives? The man is just reading for the sake of time. He also multiplied gold. Rank disobedience to the word of God. And what was the result? He was disqualified. Chapter 11, verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon. His heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. He kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, as much as you have done this, and has not kept my statutes and my commandments, I will rend the kingdom from you. You just follow. No, I can't go any further. But again, to you, young folks, don't you depend on your brain. Okay? There's some people, they're really smart, you know. But as my mother used to say, it's possible to be too smart for your own good.
Some of you
older ones know that expression. And when you leave God out, you're going to be disqualified. Now, we will continue in the will of the Lord tomorrow. This is as far as we can go. The Lord bless His word, and I apologize for going over by 10 minutes.